Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
So how do you handle a crisis? How do you handle a crisis? Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. And suddenly a terrible storm came up and waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went to him and woke him up shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." And he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. And the disciples just sat there in awe. "Who is this?" they asked themselves. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. "You need not be afraid of disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." God doesn't want you to be uptight when you face a crisis. Now, you're going to have them. So we're going to look at what we need to do to handle them. And so, but let me just give you some facts about crisis. Fact number one, they're inevitable. They're going to happen. You see, sometimes we have mistakenly thought, if I will serve God and if I will be a Christian, then I will not have any more problems in my life. Has anybody found that to be true? I haven't. You will still have problems. You know, James 1:2, brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. No one has an easy time in life. Every one of us have to deal with problems. In fact, at times, life just seems to be one continuous string of problems, doesn't it? About the time you get through one, another one crops up. About the time you think you've got that solved, you go on and there it is again. And so you and I have to understand, it's just inevitable. Life brings crisis. I shouldn't be surprised. It's going to come my way. Secondly, they're variable. They're variable. See, there's all kinds of problems, isn't there? They're not all the same. You have situational crisis. That means the circumstances. Has anybody ever quoted to yourself Murphy's Law? You know Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. You ever felt like that? It's just like, you know, it's the situation. Here it comes. There's relational crisis. You understand that when you have people in your life, you have problems getting along? You know, it's just shocking, isn't it? I mean, after all, we're so easy to get along with. And if people would just understand that, how much easier life would be. Just get along with me. I'm fine. It's you that has the problem. But it seems like relationships create problems for us, don't they? And about the time you think you've got everything sorted through with someone, something else crops up and it starts all over again, doesn't it? There's emotional crisis. You're overwhelmed by feelings, overwhelmed by depression, by fear, by guilt, by regret, by worry, by anger. Now, I've never watched soap operas. You know what they are. They're on the afternoons during the day. You know, some of you, you know, I don't know. I know the names of them. There was one that was named that I thought was very appropriate. It was called Secret Storms. Secret Storms. I wonder how many people here this morning have a secret storm going on inside. On the outside, it looks calm. But underneath, you're like the duck trying to swim to stay up on top. And you're just churning inside. A secret storm. Everything looks cool, but inside, it's just an emotional crisis. So there's all kinds of crises. They're going to happen. They're inevitable. You and I are going to have them, and they're variable. Thirdly, they're equitable. Equitable. Matthew 5:45. He gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, have you ever looked at somebody else who wasn't a Christian, and you looked at them and said to God, well, God, I don't understand this. Here I am trying to do what's right. Here I am trying to do the right thing. Here I am serving you. Here I am giving. Here I am doing everything. And look at them. They don't seem to have a problem in the world. You ever thought that? You ever told God that? Sure you have. But see, what we understand is crises happen to believers as well as unbelievers. And as we've said, that means we're not exempt. See, the one thing Christianity does for you is exempt you from hell. It does not exempt you from problems. And so you and I have to deal with problems. Well then, Pastor, what good's being a Christian? Here it is. First of all, you're going to heaven. But second of all, God gives you the power to deal with your problems. God gives you the understanding that your problems are going to turn out well, that He'll work in them. You don't have to depend upon yourself. You don't have to try and come up with all your own answers. You don't have to use your own strength. God says, look, I will be here to help you. You will experience, as a believer, the same things everybody else faces. You'll have to experience defeats, discouragements. You'll have to disappointments, disease, death. You're going to have to deal with all of those things in your life. And what God gives you is the power to help you in the midst of those problems. He gives you an opportunity to grow. He gives you an opportunity to form better relationships. And so we understand that I have problems. Everybody has problems, and they come to everybody. People in Africa have problems. I asked my sister before I was speaking, I said, okay, what's some of the problems they have? You know what their big problem was? Number one thing she said to me, food. You see, that's in most of our cases, that's not our problem, is it? But it's a problem. Would you agree with that? So whether you're in Africa or whether you're here, everyone has problems. You were born onto this planet. This planet has been diseased because of sin, and problems exist for all of us. Next thing about problems you need to know in crisis is they're unpredictable. They're unpredictable. It says, suddenly a storm came up. It wasn't expected. You see, he said, get out in the boat, everything's fine, and then suddenly a storm comes up. Now the Sea of Galilee is setting in a bowl. All around it is mountains and hills all around it. And the wind comes in off the Mediterranean, comes up the side, comes down into this sea. And then when it does, it churns into that water. It gets blocked, nowhere to go but up. And you can imagine how violent this can be. But when they got into the boat, everything was fine. You know, you can be going along and look like everything's fine and everything, but suddenly there it is. A crisis is like that, isn't it? You don't always see it coming, do you? You don't always expect it. Sometimes things happen, you go, where'd that come from? I never thought it would be like that. I never thought I'd have to deal with this. I never thought I'd be doing this. Ever thought that? And so you come to that place where you go, wow, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. I can't predict when it's going to happen. But I shouldn't be shocked when they do. And so I just need to understand that they're unpredictable. You can't predict them. You can't stop them. That's life. Last thing about crisis. This one you need to know. My response is controllable. My response is controllable. Now there are two options that you have when you face a crisis in your life. When you face a problem, there's two options. The options are shown us in this text that we read today. The first one is, you can panic. You can panic. Now notice what the disciples said. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Now, that had to be a big storm. Remember, these guys are professional fishermen. These guys grew up in this place. These guys had been on this lake before many, many, many times. This had to be some violent storm. They weren't novices. They were professional fishermen. They grew up. It wasn't just a little chop in the water. If they thought they were going to die, this had to be really pretty violent, didn't it? And so you can respond like that. It said the waves swept over the boat. It said that they thought they were going to go under. They thought they were going to drown. When a crisis comes, you can panic and feel like you're going to go under. You can feel like this is it. You can think to yourself, I can't take anymore. I can't handle anymore. I've had enough of this. You can panic. Or you have another choice. Choice is yours. You can panic, you can give in to the fear, or you can have peace. You can have peace. Verse 24, what's Jesus doing during all this? Sleeping. Wow. The disciples are up, shaking in their boots, screaming like little girls. They're panicking, and Jesus is doing what? Sleeping. Sleeping. Your choice. You can panic, or you can have peace. Jesus was tired. He wanted to sleep. But he also wasn't afraid, because he knew the Father would take care of it. He's sleeping through the whole thing. Just a little side here. Do you know that sometimes sleeping can be a statement of faith? That in the midst of your most horrible crisis, you can put your head in your pillow and you can go to sleep because you believe God's in control. Or you can panic and stay up all night and not change a thing except make you a nervous wreck. And usually when a crisis occurs, we lose sleep. Our mind goes into overdrive. We lay awake, wide-eyed, with our minds going a mile a minute. Americans spend over $500 million a year on sleeping aids. Why? Because we're afraid. Jesus was sleeping. How can you have peace and not panic? I give you three things this morning during this story. Three things that you can put into place into your life that when a crisis comes, you will apply it, it will give you peace. First thing you need to do when you face a crisis, refocus on God's closeness. Refocus on God's closeness. Verse 23 of Matthew 8. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Now let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you think that if the disciples would turn and see Jesus in the boat, they would think everything's okay? It would make sense. See, when they're in the midst of the crisis, who's in the boat with them? Jesus. When you're in the midst of a crisis, if you're a Christian, who's in the boat with you? Jesus. He's right there the whole time. But you know what happens? We forget who's in the boat. We think we're in it all alone. We think it's only us. We think we've got nobody to help us. We think we've got to survive on our own. But here's what I know. No matter what you face in your life, you are never alone. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's right there with you. You are never alone. And the disciples were looking at the waves and the possibility of drowning, and they were focusing on the wrong thing, weren't they? What do we tend to do? We tend to focus on the crisis. We tend to focus on the problems. We forget to focus on God. God's just as real as the crisis, isn't he? And he's with us. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you go through deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. What's he saying there? He's saying, look, I'm with you. No matter what you go through, God is with you. Never forget that. You're never alone. And so what I need to understand and what I must never forget is the closeness of God. If God is near, there doesn't need to be any fear. I don't need to be afraid. And God says what? I'll never leave you. Right? He doesn't say, oh man, you're in a real mess here. I need to get out of this boat. You're on your own here. I've got to go. This is too big for you. He never does that, does he? He always stays. He's always there. Romans 8:35. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate it from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the point. It doesn't matter if your boat is rocking in a storm. It doesn't matter if it's taking on water. It doesn't matter if it seems like you're going to sink. It doesn't matter if this is the worst crisis you have ever been through. He's there. He's close. And you need to look at him and not the crisis. Refocus on the closeness of God. He's there. He'll never leave you alone. Second thing in a crisis, relax in God's care. Now, the disciples said something in this story that you and I say. When the crisis gets to be pretty big and when things keep going around us and we keep being overwhelmed with things, we tend to revert to this prayer sometimes. Mark 4:38, he's sleeping in the back of the boat, his head's on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" First of all, they were presuming that they were going to drown, weren't they? God, don't you even care that I've got this problem and I'm going to lose everything? Oh, how do you know that? God, don't you even care that I've got to face this situation and I just can't, it's too great? God, don't you even care about what the doctors have said? Don't you even care about this person and the problems we have? Don't you care? You ever said that one? Don't you care? And the first thing we tend to do for some reason in the midst of a crisis is we begin to question God's love. God, what gives? God, why is this happening to me? God, why are you doing it? You know, we never blame Satan for it, do we? We always question God, don't we? God, why is this going on? Lord, don't you care? I'm facing this disaster and this crisis. Don't you care? God, don't you love me? He loves you. He cares. And you have no idea how much God cares about you. And if you don't understand. You know, it's like as a parent, when you have children at times, you have to discipline them, don't you? You have to take a stand for something they don't like, don't you? And when you do that, what is their response to you? You're the meanest dad I've ever had. You're the worst. You don't love me. Right? And when we find ourselves going through a hard time, what's our response? God, why are you doing this to me? You don't care. Folks, that's a lie. That's not true. Just as for my kids, that's a lie. That's not true. When you're going through a crisis, you need to refocus that he's close. And you just need to relax and understand He cares about what's going on in your life. The psalmist put us like this, Psalm 112, verse 6. Such people will not be overcome by evil circumstances. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Confidence. When you go through a crisis, you need to remind yourself over and over and over again, God cares about what you're going through. He's close and He cares. You don't need to fear bad news. You don't need to get all worked up about what's going on. You don't think anybody else, you need to think that nobody else understands, that nobody else has had to deal with this. You need to be open and honest and say, you know what? There's a crisis. It's going on. I don't like it, but God's right here beside me, and God will help me, and God cares about me. Now, notice what it says there in the little psalmist verse. He doesn't fear bad news. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot of bad news in the world today. I think the people in Africa sometimes have a little better than us. They don't have to listen to television. They don't have to have the bad news given to them on a regular basis. And anytime there's a disaster in the world, the media announces it instantly, and television's a great medium for bad news. And we receive a lot more negative input than we do positive. And that's created a very high level of fear in our society. We're afraid. God cares. God cares about what you're going through right now. God's close to you, and He cares about what you're dealing with. He cares. Third thing, rely on God's control. Matthew 8:26, Jesus said, what was their problem? Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Fear and faith cannot coexist. In order to have faith, you have to eliminate fear. And so God says, you have so little faith. He stands up, rebukes the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. Now, remember when we read the story? The disciples are amazed at this. I think they were more afraid of Him stopping it than they were of the storm. And in reality, Jesus did two miracles, if you think about it. He stopped all the wind. Well, you know, if you stop the wind, the waves are still going, aren't they? It takes a while for waves to die down, doesn't it? Well, Jesus stops the wind, and He stops the waves. Now think about this. The boat's rocking. It's going all over the place, up and down, over and over, you know. And Jesus says, peace, and calm. Dead still. Nothing. Wow. I was afraid before. Now I'm really afraid. Right? I mean, that's kind of the way it looks. You know. And Jesus says, look, you know what? I want you to understand, there is nothing that goes on in your life that is beyond my control. And never forget for a moment, you may be out of control, but God never is. But our fear. Fear occurs when we feel out of control. Fear, you know, we understand most of our life's out of our control, isn't it? We don't control so much of it. And the secret of overcoming fear is this faith. He said, you have little faith. You have little faith. You and I have to come to the point where we realize, you know what? I can't control this. This is out of my league. And I can't control everything that happens in life, but I don't have to, because it may be out of my control, but God is still in control. And He is taking my life and your life and your life and your life, and He's working it all together for good. Psalm 91, verse 1, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thus I declare of the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I am trusting in Him. You see, we fear too much because we trust God too little. Because here's what the Bible teaches us, Romans 8:28, and we know, you better highlight that word, underline or something, know, I know this, you know this, God causes everything, even the crisis, to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I don't understand it. I don't know how He's going to work it. I don't know how He can make good come out of this. That doesn't make sense to me, but that's the thing. I'm not in control, but God is. And God is close to me, and God cares about what's going on in my life, and God will control things for my good. So when you face a crisis this morning, here it is. Don't forget, God's close. He's right there with you. He'll never bail on you. He'll never leave you alone. Secondly, He cares about you. He loves you. He loves you. He cares about what's going on in your life. And He's in control. Life is out of our control, but not out of His. And so today, you're facing a storm. You're facing a crisis. A minister in Africa said, tell him, God cares. God's in control. And He's close. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Let the peace of God be yours in the midst of a crisis. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.